right, Tom, welcome back. If anybody has any car or automotive questions, this is the time to get in here and text or call right now at 312-981-7200. Consumer Guide Automotive. Tom, tell everybody about Consumer Guide Automotive.
Yeah, we've been around since 1967. All of our new car and used car reviews, and we review everything, live at consumerguide.com. When we get a car through the office or do an in-depth review or just want to have some fun with car news, those show up at our blog. That's the CG Daily Drive blog. I invite people to check it out. Lots of fun.
Yeah, it is. It's really terrific. And you can follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. That's car_guy_Tom. Okay, listen, why don't we take a quick break, Tom?
All right.
And when we come back, we've got a bunch of stories to talk about and some CG Drive Daily blog stuff that you posted up. I really want to talk about the most expensive American cars of 1990.
Good.
And, but oh, by the way, we have to talk about the Vixen Motorhome history.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, Tom, but last week I screened Lost in America. At my film club, and that's got a lovely Winnebago featured in it. So it's one of those that motorhomes have been on my mind. So we'll talk about that later. Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right. Tom Appel is with us, Consumer Guide Automotive. Check out consumerguide.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing this morning? It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue. It's Tuesday morning, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, Mayor, 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. We're going to talk about some classic and fun and heartwarming Good Samaritan stories a little bit later. And we've got another edition of Celebrity Name Game that we will jump into later on. But right now, it's time to talk cars with Tom Appel of Consumer Guide Automotive. He joins us once a month. And if you have any automotive or car-related questions, get them in now. Either talk or text right now at 312-981-7200. We'd be happy to answer them for you. You can follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. Let's bring Tom back to the show. Hey, Tom.
Hey.
So, interesting and kind of a crazy story with a lot of layers to it. Pop-up ads could possibly be showing up in your car. That could be the next big thing. Can you explain this?
Yeah, that is a crazy story, and you're right. There's endless layers to this.
Yeah.
One of the things that's underscoring the conversation about the move to autonomous driving is the value of the data that autonomous cars will collect. And you hear a lot about this just under the surface, just consumer level of the news, that this data is worth money. And the question is, how do they monetize this? Now, your car knows where you go, but once cars are automated or closer to autonomy, they're going to know a lot more about you, how you drive, when you drive, things like this, things your cell phone already knows. But this has to do with your traveling. And one of the things that could happen is that these ads could pop up in your car, maybe at a stoplight, maybe when you start the car, that have to do with what the car perceives to be your route that day, and it would be related to your travel. So if you're passing a Pizza Hut or a Little Caesars or a pet store and it knows you have fish, you could see ads relative to where you are, and it's just a little bit disturbing.
That's creepy.
It is. It's terrible. Who wants to see this stuff in your car? You're paying for a car. It should be your own car. But we open ourselves up to these things as we accept technology.
Yeah. And then there's always the question of what the companies will do with this data when they get it.
Right. And there's a lot of talk about cleaning the data or removing personal information from it. Because there is data we're going to be giving back to companies that we really can't control, nor do we actually want to. And that has to do with data collected about the street we're driving, traffic conditions, road conditions, things like that. In order for the whole system to work, our cars are going to be supplying information back to the system. And that's probably okay with most people.
Yeah.
But once it starts crossing that line, it starts to get a little bit weird.
It does. And I mean, it sounds really strange to me. And the other thing is, now I was reading the article, and these ads, they pop up if you're idling at a red light. Is that right?
They could. I mean, this is all theoretical at this point.
Oh, okay.
As far as I know, none of this is actually happening yet. But there's no problem technically with making this happen. It's a question of how this is going to work. If you have an autonomous system, will you subscribe to it, or will the subscription be free if you accept the ads
mm-hmm.
from the apps? It could work like that.
And some people would accept that, I would think. If they get a deal on it, every once in a while they get an ad for a Pizza Hut. popping up. You know, I guess people would do. I just find the whole thing to be really creepy.
I do. I'm with you, and I think that we need a certain amount of advocacy to protect us from what the worst case scenario here.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing is that, you know, in that detail about well, the possibility to, you know, if they start doing this, that it would pop up while you're idling at a stoplight. You're stopped at a stoplight, it would pop up. What would that mean if you're in bumper-to-bumper traffic on the expressway? Would that mean you're going to get inundated with pop-up ads while you're sitting in traffic?
Oh, man, I hope not.
No, I mean, first thing that popped into my head, I'm like, what if there's bumper-to-bumper traffic in the morning? Are you just going to get nothing but, you know, like Liquid Plumber and Pizza Hut and Cat's Pride ads?
I hope not. The good news is that your autonomous car system, your nav system, should know where you at. It should know that you're not on a ground street, that you're on the highway.
Well, it's true, right.
So hopefully, there'll be some discretion there.
I don't know. I just see that. I don't know. The first thing that popped into my head when I read this article was the movie Idiocracy. I swear to God, Tom, that was the first thing that popped into my head. But have you seen the movie Idiocracy, Tom?
Oh, many times.
Yeah, it reminded me of watching TV in that movie. It's when he's got the big widescreen TV, there's like millions of ads, you know. For some reason, that's what popped into my head. And that movie is so prescient. It's terrifying.
Yeah, no. Every day I wake up and I think that Mike Judge knew exactly what was going to happen.
I know. I keep waiting for the movie Ass to come out and be the number one movie at the box office and win best screenplay. Okay. Well, that's so. Now this autonomous stuff that's happening right now. What's the most advanced technology that people can get now? What will they get?
Right now, there are two systems either available or nearly available. I just drove a Cadillac CT6 with Super Cruise, and Super Cruise allows you to take your hands off the wheel, but you have to pay attention to what's going on. And it actually knows where you're looking, and it knows where your hands are, so that if something does come up on the road ahead of you, it will require you to bring your hands back on the wheel very quickly. This is only available on routes that it understands are highways, but it works pretty darn well. I used it a couple weeks ago.
That's wow.
Yeah,
that's pretty
crazy.
Was it really weird when you did it, Tom?
It is weird. It is weird, and it centers a little bit differently than you think it would. It doesn't quite follow the center of the lane, so you want to correct, so you have to. So it takes some getting used to. And then we have a version of the Audi A8, which is coming out for 2019, that will have a slightly more advanced system that will not require you to pay attention.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that's actually advanced level 3, or early level 3, and that... That'll be available in a few months.
Wow. All right. I think we're a couple of years away from Blade Runner, Tom. That's what I'm saying. All right, Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
Tom Appel is with us, he joins us. He's a Consumer Guide Automotive, the publisher, and you can read him, you can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. More with Tom Appel. And any and all of your automotive questions, get them in here. Text or talk 312-981-7200. The news will be next. Right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue. And we're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. We're going to be talking about Good Samaritan stories. We want you to share yours, the ones that you've heard, one that you've experienced. And we'll do that a little bit later on, 312-981-7200. It's 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in right now. Text them in at 312-981-7200. One artist, two songs. We'll play them later. Right now, Tom Appel is with us, the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, contributor to their Daily Drive blog. The website is consumerguide.com, and you can follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And if you have any and all automotive questions or comments or concerns, you need some help, 312-981-7200. And let's welcome Tom back to the show. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, we have someone on the line who has a question, and it's Bill on WGN. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
All right.
Good. I have a 2003 Ford Taurus. It's got 262,000 miles, so needless to say, I'm in the market for a car, okay? A friend of mine's got an aunt. It's like one of those typical old lady stories. It's a 1995 Mercury Marquis. It's got 34,000 original miles. Wants $1,000 for it. Now, I put 65 miles a day round trip on a car. Do you think it's wise to buy a car of that age with that low mileage, or am I just asking for a lot more problems down the road.
Well, for $1,000, you can't go very wrong. Although I think that that car is probably going to rack up some problems pretty quickly. It seems like it's fairly low risk, but I think that just because of its age, driving it as much as you do is asking for trouble. That said, I don't know how you would resist that car. It sounds cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, the lady bought it brand new. Like, she got all the documents for it still, and she can't drive anymore. She's 94. She just stopped driving right now. So I think I'm going to jump on it.
Yeah, you might. Yeah, I mean, that sounds like. It's only a grand, you know, for a car. I mean, that's pretty much of a steal.
So even if I have to put, you know, brakes on it or anything, again, I'm still spending less money than if I make a car payment every month for myself.
Well, Tom, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that if it starts to be trouble, it's a cool thing to keep in your garage and just keep running on the side.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, Bill.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, buddy. Take care. A 95 Mercury Marquis.
Yeah.
You ever have one of those, Tom?
Oh, did we have a 95 Marquis? No, did not.
No.
But that is a classic big car, rear drive, old school.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very cool. You mentioned the Caddy that you were driving. What else have you been driving lately, Tom?
What did I just drive that I thought was really interesting? I just drove probably the least expensive car I'll drive all year, and I came away very impressed. I just drove the Kia Rio in top-line SX trim level. Came to less than $20,000. The good news is, this tiny car, I fit in it just fine.
Oh.
It is quick, it is refined, it is nimble, it is fun to drive. I think my only complaints about this car is that there's no extra power for highway passing. The back seat's just a little bit small for big guys. And there's some safety equipment I wish it had. But for $20,000, it's quite a bargain.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, speaking of Kia, let's talk a little bit about this Stinger.
Yes.
Yeah, talk about that.
Yeah, so we just talked about the Rio, or the bottom end of the lineup.
Right.
Kia just brought out the Stinger. It was a car that they teased a few years ago in concept form. It was just called the Stinger Concept. Really good-looking car. They showed it as a coupe. They have made a similar-looking car available now as a sedan. This is a rear-drive premium midsize sedan that is a surprising thing to have Kia bring to market. Now, Kia already does sell the K900 that no one remembers, which is a large luxury car. This is more of a sports sedan, more on the lines of a BMW M5 or maybe a Mercedes-Benz E-Class. I just recently spent some time in it. It's a very convincingly nice car for about $50,000. You get a turbocharged 3.3-liter V6, a classy interior, sporty handling. Nice car. I don't know exactly what Kia is doing with it in their marketing and their lineup. It's kind of an odd fit.
Yeah.
But it's really an interesting car.
And I love that there's an article that was written in the Trib about it.
Yeah.
And the headline is, "That's a Kia?"
that's the appropriate reaction.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, how do you think that, I mean, is it out now? Is it available?
It's in showrooms right now.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay. And it can hit 60 miles per hour in 4.7 seconds, and it's a Kia.
Yeah, that's the GT version. There is a slightly more tempered 2-liter turbo version. That's the entry level. That's still a fun car.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Speaking of going fast, there is a so the Geneva Auto Show happened. Tell everybody about the Geneva Auto Show.
Yeah, that interesting auto show, because it comes between the Detroit Auto Show and the New York Auto Show. Obviously, it's overseas, and it's the show that increasingly is being hit by premium European manufacturers, some high-end Japanese manufacturers, but stuff you don't see in the U.S. and manufacturers like Porsche and Volvo and other high-end makers are pulling away from like the Detroit Auto Show to bring stuff to Geneva.
And is there a reason for that?
A little bit. I think that the Detroit Auto Show demographically doesn't suit them very well, whereas Geneva has a very high-end clientele walking through there. Once the press days are finished, the actual consumers that tour the show are more likely to be their customers in Geneva.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. And so the Geneva Auto Show just happened, and there's all kinds of stuff here. There's a Croatian hypercar. There's an electric Porsche. I'm looking at some of the numbers here. They're a supercar capable of hitting a 211 miles per hour. What 194 miles per hour? The numbers are insane here.
Yeah, they really are. 200 used to be a line in the sand that no one even tried to cross because
yeah.
It's too difficult. But the beauty of electric cars is that it's very easy to go fast with an electric car. You may not be able to do it for very long because you're going to drain that battery, but electric motors are wonderful for this stuff.
And so what, some of the ones that they had at the auto show in Geneva, they're Ferrari's 488 Pista.
The Pista, yeah.
Pista.
This is a cool car because Ferrari is famous for V12 lately. This is actually still a V8, and I think it's their highest performance. They claim to be their highest performance V8 ever, and it's good for something like 711 horsepower.
Jeez, what? Why?
I don't know.
That's absolutely insane.
It is insane, and I hope to drive one someday.
And then Mercedes had a high-performance four-door version of their GT Coupe, and that's crazy as well.
It's crazy for a lot of reasons, because they brought out the Mercedes AMG GT. That's what they call the two-door coupe that this car is based on. But increasingly, everyone's moving these cars to be crossovers or four-doors. It's almost like the coupe market is completely dead. So this is just a four-door version of their two-door GT. The two-door GT is a fabulous car. I haven't driven the four-door. I don't know if anyone's driven the four-door yet. But they felt it necessary to expand that lineup to include a sedan.
So it's a four-door, and it can reach, it can top out at 194 miles per hour for anybody who wants to do that.
Yes. Should need demand. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 630 horsepower, by the way. Good Lord. Okay. Now, this is insane. Hennessy Performance. Okay. They have this new Venom F5.
Yes.
It's a hypercar. Explain what a hypercar is, and then you got to explain the numbers on this one, because this is insane.
Yeah. Hypercar is sort of a made-up name, but it's something beyond supercar. So back in the old day, I think everyone knew what a Ferrari Testarossa was.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that, a Porsche 911 Turbo. Those were our old supercars. And cars are so far beyond that now that the term hypercar has been bounced around. And I think it's kind of coming into regular play now. But Hennessy is a traditional American tuner, and they used to do a lot of stuff to Ford products, usually massaging them. But they've become their own manufacturer now, where they're building their own vehicles. And they've done a number of those. But they're talking about a car here in Geneva that's good for 1,600 horsepower.
I just, 1,600 horsepower?
Yes.
What?
My Volkswagen Scirocco was good for 90 horsepower.
Oh, man. And it could top 300 miles per hour? Is that what they're talking about?
They're talking about shooting for 300. 300 is I believe that 300 by an actual wheel-driven vehicle is very hard to achieve. And I don't know that it's been achieved by a production vehicle ever.
Yeah.
So that would be their target.
That would be the target that they're shooting for. Because, you know, 211 is not fast enough.
Exactly. Yeah. There was the Bugatti Veyron that was good for, what was it, 260? It got really fast for a wheel-driven vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And then we have is it Rimac?
Yeah, I don't know a lot about this company.
It's called the Concept 2 with 2,000 horsepower. I don't the possibility that's what they're, who are these cars for, Tom?
Well, that's a good question, because I don't know who buys them. Russian oligarchs and Arab oil princes. I don't know who can afford these things and then where you drive them that quickly.
Right, exactly. But they're cool to see at an auto show, though, right?
They're absolutely. I mean, that's the beauty of things like this, is that they're always testing the boundaries of technology.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know anything about Rimac, but the Croatian company, and every now and then they make a little bit of news, and how many cars they actually sell is open to question because they're not imported to the U.S. But, you know, 2,000 horsepower is 2,000 horsepower.
That's just,
and if they're really making that, God bless them.
God, it's crazy. That's just so crazy. Although it would be cool to drive one of those things into, you know, I mean, that's,
heck yeah.
That would be so awesome. how big is the Geneva Auto Show? And you said it's becoming more popular with the companies. How big is it?
It's a big show. I don't know how many cars they have. I do know that it's not contained in a single conference center. It's a series of buildings that you have to be shuttled between. I've never attended it myself.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it draws a lot of attention, and they make a lot of news out of it. So, this is sort of a regular annual newsmaker in the auto industry.
Does it last around the same amount of days as, like, say, Chicago or Detroit?
Yeah, there were two full days of press events with some stuff a little bit before and a little bit after. And then I think it's open for a week. So it's very much like Chicago.
Okay. And you actually wrote about one of the cars that was at the 2018 Geneva Auto Show, and that's the 2019 Lexus UX.
Yeah, Lexus, which had for a long time stated they were never going to build a small crossover, a subcompact crossover, surprised a lot of people in Geneva by introducing a subcompact crossover. So now they're in the tiny crossover game, which is getting increasingly popular, at least on the premium side. But we'll be seeing this vehicle relatively soon. So if you're looking for a Lexus crossover that's under 35 grand, this is probably your car.
Mm, okay. And then they had that debuted at the auto show in Geneva. Okay. All right. There you go. So look for that 2019 Lexus UX. All right. Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We've got some texts coming in. We've got a few more stories, and we have to talk about the Vixen Motorhome, which I'm very, very excited to talk about. Tom, hang on. Tom Appel is with us. 312-981-7200. If you want to get in here, he's here for a few more minutes. If you have any automotive question or concern, you need some advice, 312-981-7200. You can check out Consumer Guide Automotive at consumerguide.com. You can follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. All right, more right after we take a break here on 720 WGN. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio, the showcase studio right here on Michigan Avenue. Quiet morning here on WGN. We're here till 5. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text and two for Tuesday requests. One artist, two songs. Get them in. We'll play them later. We're going to talk about Good Samaritan stories, some feel-good stuff, some heartwarming stuff that we're going to share this morning. And we have got another celebrity name game challenge between Esmeralda and myself. Right now, though, our good friend Tom Appel is with us. He's the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. Everything you need to know about cars is there, consumerguide.com. You can follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And if you have any questions, you can sneak some in here. He's here. He's going to be here till 3. So get your questions in now. Talk or text 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Let's welcome Tom back. Welcome back, Tom.
Thank you.
Okay, a couple of texts are here.
Okay.
815 area code texts. Ask Tom if he has any information on used taxation. It's based on how much you drive your car now, and all cars must have trackers in them.
I don't know anything about that specifically. The talk is that autonomous driving will allow taxing bodies access to our information, and that we could use that, or they could use that, to determine how far we've driven. Manufacturers will fight that because manufacturers claim they don't want to give out personal information about people to anybody, just aggregate information. So we'll see how that turns out. A funny side note about this, actually it's probably not too funny to people in Europe, is that the cities of London and Paris, for example, are considering or actively taxing people as they drive into certain areas of the city during the day.
Oh.
And they track those vehicles in different ways, and this to reduce congestion of and you know, fossil fuel burning cars during the day. So our cars are being tracked.
Yeah, no question about. We're all being tracked. I mean, it's scary, man. You know, I mean, we have tracking devices. We carry a tracking device in our pocket at all times.
Yeah, I'm always holding mine.
Yeah. It's really crazy. And that's not going to stop. I mean, obviously that technology is going to go right into cars as well. So.
Yep.
Okay. 773 area code said, this is a good question, Tom. This is something that I'm sure people would pop into their mind. A caller had a question about a vehicle from 95. Wouldn't there be another issue of getting parts for it? How long after a car goes out of production can you get parts? Good question.
Well, it depends entirely by how popular that car was. A 1995 car, like we were talking about that Mercury, Marquis.
Yeah.
There'll be parts for that forever because hundreds of thousands of them were built. The parts didn't change much from year to year, and there's a very active group of people trying to keep those on the road. So that's easy. I would not, however, buy an old Daewoo and expect to be able to find parts for it.
Well, oh, that's shocking, Tom. Mark in Elgin sends in a text, trying to decide between a 2018 Kia Sportage and a Hyundai. Both are very similar. Also, is it worth the savings in the long run if I get a 2017 instead of a 2018?
The 17-18 thing, you might save a little bit of money. You're going to lose some resale on that vehicle almost immediately. So it depends on how long you're going to keep the vehicle. The warranty hasn't changed. The technology hasn't changed much. So, yeah, it's a question of the deal you get. Between the Hyundai and the Kia, the Hyundai makes use of a DCT that's essentially a dual-clutch transmission. And we really don't like it at Consumer Guide. It's just a little bit fussy and city. It makes odd shifts. So though they're technically related, we prefer the Kia and the compact crossover class just because it's a little bit of a smoother drive around town.
Okay. All right. There you go, Mark. Good luck. 218 area code says, how much better is Chevy's Volt range getting year after year?
They haven't made any changes to it. So for right now, it's still 239 miles. There could be some tweaks they make to it. It probably be less tweaking the battery and more tweaking the software if they come up with a higher number. One thing we might actually see is a lower range Volt to see if they can bring the price down. Right now, that starts around $37,000 before the tax break. So I would actually see them bring out something more in the 175 range maybe and see if they can come out with a cheaper price range. That could happen.
Okay. All right. We have to talk about this Vixen motorhome and this interesting, really interesting automotive engineer. Just reading the piece about him. William Bill Collins, Jr.
Yeah.
You mentioned that the three most interesting lines on Bill's lengthy resume are overseeing development of General Motors' 1977 B-body redesign.
Yeah, which was huge.
Engineering the DeLorean DMC-12.
Yep.
And then, of course, designing and manufacturing his own motorhome. Let's talk about this guy.
Yeah, this is a guy that most people have never heard of. And just to start with, the General Motors B-Bodies is one of the most important downsize projects ever for General Motors and one of the most successful. That is the Caprice, the Impala, the Bolivar, the Catalina, the 88, and the LeSabre.
Wow, yeah.
Time. It was just an enormously important
The LeSabre. Yeah.
Too, yeah. So huge volume.
Yeah.
He managed that, and it was very successful. He left General Motors to go work for John Z. DeLorean to develop the DeLorean sports car.
Oh, man.
And this is the vehicle where a plant was. I mean, DeLorean failed for a number of reasons, but not the car itself. The car actually got built.
Yeah, yeah.
And he did that. So he went on to build his own motorhome, the Vixen. He didn't put his name on it. He was a notoriously modest guy, but he wanted to build a better motorhome. And so he began, and it's an amazing thing because it looks like something from outer space. It's got a couple of very interesting features to it. It's rear engine. It uses a BMW diesel engine, and it was very light for a motorhome for its size. It was only about 5,000 pounds, and people who own these things now, and these are crazy people who love their cars, so you don't know how much you can trust their numbers, but they claim they're getting 30 miles per gallon with these things.
What?
Yeah, which is incredible. Now, it's almost possible if they're driving 50 miles an hour and no wind. But
right.
But even getting close to that with a motorhome is very impressive.
And he also wanted to design it so that it could fit into a garage.
Yes, that was one of the key things. So the roof was very low, and then it canted open when you were parked and sleeping for the night so that you could walk around in it.
Wow. That's pretty incredible. And people can see this this motorhome?
There are something like 600 of these motorhomes out there right now, and I think most of them have been preserved.
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen one on the road, so I don't know where they're at or who's keeping them or where they're at, but I do know they have conventions, they do have meets and jamborees, so these cars are out there, and if you're lucky enough to see one at an auto show or something like that, make note of it, because they're very rare.
Boy, okay, Tom, how would you react if you're driving on the highway and you saw one of those things? You'd have to follow it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I found that to be fascinating. What seriously, boy, this, you know, and I'd never heard of him, and it's not like I'm a car, you know, expert historian, but this guy should be a little bit more well known with the stuff that he's done.
He is, and people who follow engineers or designers know who this guy is, but he deserves more credit than he gets. And you know, you hear the name John Z. DeLorean, that's the name you remember.
Yeah.
Not the guy that built his car.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So I'm going to think of him every time I watch Back to the Future now.
That's perfect.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I want to mention before we let you go that you wrote a piece that appeared in the Chicago Auto Show official show guide.
Yeah.
And it's about the best buys for the city dweller. And a lot of people who are listening right now live in the city and are concerned about what cars would be good for the city dweller. And this is people can read this piece at Consumer Guide, correct?
They can, yeah. We looked at four different things that make a car good for the city. I think we nailed it. So yeah, it's a good list. If you're looking for a new car and you live in a really tight packed area,
yeah,
you might want to check this out.
A lot of people listen and do that exactly, Tom. So Best Buys for the City Dweller is available at ConsumerGuide.com, and it first appeared in the 2018 Chicago Auto Show official show guide.
Yes.
All right, Tom. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And we will talk to you again next month.
Looking forward to
it. Take care.
Take care.
All right, there you go. Tom Appel, everybody. He's great. He's our car guy, and you can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And he'll be back again next month. All right, we're going to take a break, and we've got the news coming up right after this.